Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you for giving us the grace to gather in this manner as one family. And Father, as we open up the scriptures, Lord, we pray that you'll open up our hearts to your word, open up our minds, and Lord, minister to our hearts this day, Father God, whatever our situation may be this morning. Father, we want to lay it at your feet. And Father, we ask for love to be revived in our hearts. In Jesus Christ's most wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen, amen. Please be seated. This morning, before sermon, I want to convey my deepest condolences to the family of Bishop Renny Panaya and Reverend Jeremy Panaya, and also Brother Andrew, who's seated here, on the passing of their father to glory yesterday morning. My deepest condolences to the family. Yes. So it's 2019. I believe and I pray, I hope, I trust that 2018 was a good year for everyone. There may have been many challenges, but I believe that through the challenges, you may have encountered the Lord in a very special and powerful way. And of course, every year, this is the first Sunday of this year, and then many will say, you must have resolutions, right? What are you going to do this year? What are you going to accomplish this year? Maybe bad habits to give up, to form new habits, new disciplines. So we may have many things. And 2018, you may have began the year with many resolutions, right? I have friends on Facebook who have posted this. I'm not sure whether are these original quotes, but they posted this. I'll just repeat them to you. One posted said that 2018 went so fast that I did not have time to diet. And one of my friends, it's quite a hefty guy, after looking, he told me, he posted on Facebook, he said, I began 2018 needing to lose 20 kilograms. I ended 2018 needing to lose 30 kilograms. So I don't know what he did throughout the year. But we all have resolutions, I believe, and some may have come to pass, some may not, and some are just for fun. Yeah, but I'm not sure what resolutions you've made this year. Whether they're important, I don't know. I've not made any resolutions. And if there's any, the only resolution I make is not to make any resolutions. Because too many things. But this is a new year, and I pray that during the sermon and after the sermon, you will make this resolution in your life. You see, one thing has always surprised or shocked me is that sometimes we talked about going to church as if like it is exhausting, right? It will make us tired. People say that I'm just too tired to go to church today, right? You are here, so I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people from other churches, Yeah. Sorry, is this recorded? Can we just delete that part? Yeah, sorry. So you know, we talk as if you're so tired and so exhausted. I cannot go to church today. I'm very tired now. Especially if you have an event or function on Saturday night, right? We feel as if like church will just wear us out and it'll make us more exhausted. You know, we'll get very tired just going to church. We never say, I'm worn out, I'm tired, therefore I'm going to go to church today to get myself re-energized, to get myself excited, to get myself fired up. So I need to go to church today. I'm very tired. I need to go to church. Very rarely. I'm sure you would have said that. That's why you're here. But it seems to me that that is what we ought to do, right? An opportunity to praise God together as a family of God. And that should get us excited and fired up to come for service. If you can have this on the slides. King David said in Psalms 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts. And I'm helped. My heart exults. That means my heart rejoices, right? And with my song, I give thanks to Him. I think we can all think of times like that when our hearts just leapt for joy. You know, just thinking about the Lord. Just giving thanks to Him. When our hearts were aflame for God. But do you know that a fire must be refueled? Right? A fire has to be refueled. Another passage in Psalms 85. Let's look at this. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Maybe this morning we need God to relight a fire in our soul that's getting a bit cold. Right? Maybe what we need is a revival. Right? As Christians, some of us have been Christians for many years, and I've been a Christian for since I lost count, 1986, right? About 32 years. There's a good chance that throughout the course of your Christian life, we are going to need revivals, many revivals throughout that year, throughout our lives. You know, nowadays when you talk about church, it's like this. How should I say this? We think that at the church is so subnormal that when normal appears, we are very surprised. Okay, let me say this. When a church, there needs to be, if you ask me, healing taking place, deliverance, ministry, people being ministered, droves of people coming to know Christ, and that is how a church should be, right? Powerful things should be taking place, powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That is what a church should be. But now we have given into so subnormal things that, you know, these things don't happen in church anymore. We accept that as normal. So when the actual normal thing happens, we get so surprised. When the actual thing about healing takes place, deliverance takes place, we get so surprised when actually that should be the normal thing in the church. Because we've been so accustomed to this not happening. Just think about this, right? And that is what and that's what God's church is like, right? A sleeping giant. But the devil wants the sleeping giant to sleep. Just remain sleeping and the enemy is not troubled. He wants that. So in order for the church to function as the body of Christ, to function in that way, God has to bring a revival to his church. And what is a revival? The dictionary, I checked a few dictionaries, and what it says is this, I read to you. A revival, a period in which something becomes popular again after a long period of time. Revival, the growth of something or an increase in the activity of something after a long period of no growth or activity. Revival, this is my favorite explanation from the dictionary about revival. Restoration of force. You see, when God visits, when God brings a revival, it's fire from above, right? Powerful things are going to happen when God visits, right? And it can happen in many levels, different levels. Revival can happen at the connect group. Doesn't have to be only in the main church. It can happen in your connect groups. It can happen in the community, in the church, yes, and it can also happen in the community level. And one of the greatest revivals we always talk about, and I think that is what Deaconess Bessie was talking at the BA in Andrew, the Welsh revival, right? Where hundreds of thousands of people came to know Christ within a space of 5 months. A great revival took place slightly more than 100 years ago, I think early 1900s. People stopped going to the bars. People were attending church. There was a great revival in Wales at that time. And this is what they quoted. The churches are full of people and the people are full of God. That was what people were talking about then at that time. And Bible has a very good definition of what a revival is in Acts chapter 3 verse 19. It reads, "Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Times of refreshing. And that is what I think a revival is. It's time of refreshing that comes from the Lord. It rekindles the fire of the Holy Spirit in the souls of God's people. When revival comes, my friends, great things, strange things will happen, but great things will also happen. Right? God's people will have a new passion for prayer, a new passion for worship, for God's word. So a lot of powerful things will happen. When revival comes, you'll see a renewed confession, a renewed commitment to holiness. And a lot of things that people used to tolerate, we will not tolerate any longer. We're going to see an increased burden for the lost, stronger emphasis on evangelism. But the amazing thing about revival is this, it cannot be manufactured. You cannot manufacture or you cannot orchestrate a revival. If I could, then I would have sold you the package by now, right? My sermon would have been a 2-minute sermon. I just put up an app and say, you just download this app, called Revival. And then once you download the app on your phone, you'll be revived. And then that's it. Praise God. Right? But it doesn't happen. I don't have a package for you. I don't have an app for you to download. A revival is heaven sent and it's not made by men. And you know what? We cannot obligate God to send us a revival. But he longs to send it, I believe. He longs to awaken his church so that the normal that I was talking about earlier, that normalcy returns back to the church. We can't organize a move of the Spirit of God, but we can set our hearts to catch the wind when it blows. It's like this, huh? It's like a kite. You can build a kite, you can make your own, but you cannot force the wind. The kite you can build. But what we do is, we build a kite and be ready when the wind comes, you're ready to fly the kite. Because if you were to build a kite when the wind blows, it's too late. So we build a kite and we wait for the wind to come. So that's what we have to wait. And that is why we need to pray for a revival for Cathedral, for the Anglican Church, for the churches in Singapore. And most of all, and this is what I want to emphasize on, most of all, we pray for the revival of our own hearts. You see, we need revival, and I'll tell you why. Revival is needed because we are prone to let our love for God grow cold. Revival is needed because we are prone to let our love for God grow cold. See, the Lord starts up, the Lord fills us up with the Holy Spirit. He starts a fire in our lives, in our hearts. But after a while, the fire just does not burn as hot as it should be. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 to 5, it says this. Is it too small? I'll read to you. This is a letter to the church in Ephesus. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil. But I've tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. So God is talking to this church in Ephesus. What he's saying is this: you're doing a lot of wonderful things, doing fantastic things. I appreciate, I can understand, I can see that, and you're doing it tirelessly. But you don't love me as you did at first. Okay, I was and I have been guilty of many times of getting caught up with putting works above loving God. I've been guilty of that. See, revival is needed because we neglect our relationship, our love relationship with God. It may not be something you have noticed. You may think, I'm here in church. I'm here before 9, I'm here. And I attend my connect groups, I attend meetings, right? And see, it shows that I love God. We may not have noticed, you know, that we don't love God as much as we did. But I wanted to know God notices. Let me quote you this example. I have 3 children. My children are young adults. This year they'll be 19, 21, and 23. So when they were young, we were very close. We kept us very close. We are still close, but young we were closer. Right? They will turn to you for everything. Right? For everything they will come to you. The slightest and smallest thing. Right? And then you realize they're so, you know, you feed them, you clothe them, you bathe them, take care of them, everything they come to you. And then the teenage years comes. And then they have new friends and they can make certain decisions of their own and they want to spend time with their friends. I want to go out for a birthday function. I want to go out for a movie with a friend. And then the late teenagers, they'll call up and say, I'm not coming back for dinner today. I mean, I'll come back home, but I'm not having dinner. I'm having dinner with my friends. I'm having lunch with my friends. And then they say, don't prepare dinner for me, you know, as they're getting older. And then that's what happens. But for them is this. Hey, there's no change in my relationship with my parents. You're still my parents. I still love you. I still come home every day. And I still make sure I get my allowance from you every day. Right? So my parents, I still love you. I mean, I come home every day. So for them, it's, yeah, but then they got new friends, they're going out. But the parents, for them, is different, right? As a parent, I can feel that, right? Yesterday, my children went out and they went for youth service and then they came back late and then, yeah, me and my wife were alone at home. Yeah, so we feel it. So my children used to be very close with us, but now they've got friends, right? You see, we may not notice that our love for God has grown cold, but God notices. It says in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride. See, I don't know if any bride who is completely in love with the groom, when she goes to bed, and next morning she wakes up and says, hey, I don't like you anymore. I hate you. I don't love you. So I want a divorce. Right? It doesn't happen. Right? What happens is over time, they have taken their relationship for granted. And then the love over time has grown cold. And that is why they say in a couple, say, you know, irreconcilable differences. We don't love each other anymore. You know, we used to fall in love, now we've fallen out of love. You know, things like that. So, the relationship is taken for granted. You know, we go through a routine of relationship over time, and then you notice that you don't love each other anymore. And this is how sometimes it appears in our relationship with God. Sometimes it's like this, huh? It's our excitement with a new phone. Now it's a new iPhone XR, or some say, no, it's X. It's not XR, it's 10R. Right? When you get a new phone, whatever phone you may have, and what we do, we immediately get a nice cover, tempered glass, and then we get the best cover that we can get, and then we download all the apps, and then we're always on the phone figuring out what are the new applications you have, what are the new functions you have, and then if someone were to say, can I just look at your phone, and then we are very afraid to give it to them. You know why? We are afraid that they will drop the phone. Right, you know, when the phone drops, the heart also drops, right? Because there's some connection there. So we dare not give it to our friends. And then we're always watching them, you know, make sure you don't drop it, you know, careful and all that. You know, we protect and then cover our handphones in the beginning. Then after some time, after maybe a couple of months later, and then we come home and then we take the phone and then we just drop it on the table. It falls, never mind, I just take and put it back. But you know what? The initial love we had our phones has grown cold, right? I still have my tempered glass and all these things, but now the phone drops, my heart doesn't drop anymore, right? So the initial love strong word is obsession with the phone, is no longer there, right? Sometimes I think that is how it is with our relationship with God. So the question is, how do we know that we need a revival in our relationship with God? How do we know? What are some of the signs of the fire is burning low? I'll just share with you. There are many, but I'll share with you a few which I hope will resonate with our hearts. And I've been through this. One thing is, prayer is no longer a vital part of your life. It's just something we do occasionally. I come to church, the intercessor will pray, and I'll just say amen. And I'll just share, I'll just claim that prayer. Right? Or when we need, sometimes some of us pray 3 times a day, right? Our breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah, right? And then sometimes, only when there's a need, then we call the pastor and pray, ask for prayer, or cell leaders and all that. So prayer is no longer a vital part of your life. Those are one of the signs. And then you have grown to be content with your biblical understanding. You've read the Bible at least once and you said, okay, I've done, that's it. I've read enough of the Bible. I don't need to read the Bible anymore. I know the scripture enough. And then now, of course, you have the almighty Google, right? Last time when I have a problem, I'll go and then see if I'm sad, I'm depressed, I go look for scripture verses and ask my friends. Now all you have to do is Google and say, I am depressed, biblical verse, and then it comes out with, I'm struggling, I'm stressed. So now you have Google, right? So I don't need to read the Bible anymore, right? If you want to check whether Reverend Joshua is preaching correctly, you just go to the internet and say, does this scripture actually say it like this? Right, you can Google. So I don't need to read the Bible anymore. We have lost that love for the scriptures. We don't have a hunger for the word of God. It's not just about reading, but it's hunger. You know, do you thirst and hunger for the word of God? And you can sit in the church or your connect groups, and then whoever is teaching or preaching can just preach, and then it doesn't sink in anymore. There's no more desire. The gatherings of people are not eagerly anticipated, right? What I always call a Sunday service is a family reunion. Every Sunday, the family of God gathers together for a reunion where we fellowship with one another, we encourage each other's presence. Have we lost that eagerness, that anticipation? Right? The pastor can say, hey, come for this meeting. We have this seminar going on, this conference going on. He can say, and then we already decided we're not going to come. Pastor, you can say whatever you want, but I'm not going to come. No, we don't eagerly desire those fellowships anymore. Someone can talk to us deeply about Jesus, you know, and it doesn't excite us, doesn't interest us. Sometimes you want to change the topic. We indulge certain sins, right? Say, never mind, it's just a small sin. Doesn't matter, right? We can sing songs, but it doesn't do anything to our hearts. And one of the greatest signs, I think, is this. The lostness of people without Christ never crosses our mind. We never stop and see all the people, you know, we see in the shopping centers, in the markets, in the trains, in the buses. And we think, hey, they don't know Jesus. It doesn't bother us anymore. Right? There's no burden for the lost. We have lost that. We never think about God's presence. I don't know if any of this hits us, but these are signs that our love for God is growing cold. You see, we always say this, right? God understands, and He understands. God truly understands our. We say, Lord, Father, I got so many things going on. I'm under pressure. I've got family to take care. Maybe we have family members who have special needs. So many challenges. I got work pressures. I got my own challenges, own issues. All these are true, and we say God understands. It is true. God understands us very well. But my question to you is, do you understand God? Do we understand God? You know, sometimes we feel that our relationship is like a forced marriage. Huh? Someone decided a long time ago that you and God should get together, and then, okay, no forced marriage like that. There are good things, but there's no longer any more love anymore. See, revival is not just changing behavior. Revival is falling back in love with God. It's not just about changing behavior, it's about falling back in love with God. Okay, I'm going to do something very risky now. I'm going to sing a song. Okay? Please forgive me, musicians, please forgive me if I go out. But it's a lovely song that I love. It's an old song. I'm not sure who wrote it, when it was written, who sang it, I don't know. But it's a beautiful song that ministers to me many times about falling in love back with God. Some of you may know. If you know, sing along with me. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Before. Thank you. Thanks. But the whole idea is about falling in love with God over and over. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about falling in love? We always talk about God's unconditional love for us. We say, He loves me as I am. He loves me as I come. True. But what about our love for God? Do we fall in love with Him over and over and over again? It happens. That's why He has warned us in Revelation chapter 2 that our love for Him has grown cold. Our first love. We have lost that first love for Him. Revival is promised when we return to God. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, it says this, return to me, and I will return to you. See, God wants revival more than we do. He wants us to wake up. He wants His church to wake up. And even though, as I mentioned earlier, we cannot orchestrate or manufacture the exact time or where the revival will come, will take place, but there is no excuse for us not to orchestrate our own revival right now. There's this story of this pastor who was praying for his church. He's praying, Lord, revive the hearts of these people. Bring a revival in our church. Bring a revival in this community. But it didn't happen for some time, and he was very upset, frustrated. He said, "Lord, I've been praying so long for a revival, but nothing is happening. So, Lord, why?" And then one day the Lord responded to him, and he said, "My dear son, I hear your prayer. I will bring a revival. But there's one thing I want you to do now. And that is, I want you to draw a circle around you first." And then he drew a circle around. And then he said, "I want you to pray for a revival for the person standing in the circle." And then he realized, yes, the revival must first take place in my heart before the revival takes place somewhere else. And if you want a revival in the church, my friends, the revival has to first take place in every individual's heart. It has to take place in my heart. It's always very easy for us to say, the revival is for that person. You know, when someone preaches, they say, "Oh, the sermon is for you. The sermon is for him." Right? There was this one person who was in a church always complaining, "Pastor, good sermon, but just too bad that this person didn't come. Just too bad that this person didn't come." Right? And one day, in the church, there was nobody else, only that one person. And then the pastor preached the same sermon again. And then the person, the member went up to the pastor and said, "Pastor, wonderful sermon. It's just too bad that the rest of the church was not here." Right? So we always think the sermon is for somebody else, but the sermon is for us. The revival is for us. Let the revival take place in our hearts first and foremost. You know, we can return to God today. Right here, right now, you may think that, "Lord, I've lost that love for you, but will you accept me back? Will you take me back?" I was blessed today. I never discussed this with Shasha this morning about the song or even what she was going to say. But I think the Lord has everything taken care of. He's sovereign, right? You may think that your love for the Lord has gone cold, or you may think you have gone far away from God. But you know how far you go away from God, He's always still near to you, right? I always have this analogy. When you think you go on away from God, far away from Him, and then when you look back and you think it's very far, but you know what? The moment you turn around, God is there immediately. He's there waiting for you to turn around. Never think that I've gone too far away from God that I cannot turn back, I cannot come back. It's too distant. It's too long a journey to turn back to God. But no, He is always there waiting to receive you back. If you've gone far away, then my friends, it's time for us to return this year. From the beginning of this year, let us return back to God and make that decision. "Lord, I will love you. Lord, will you revive my love for you once again, the love that I had in the beginning." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11, 14, as read by Janice, it explains more than anything that what we must do in order to experience that revival in this church. The three things, right? If you can have that, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11 to 14. First thing is, humble themselves, right? "If my people were called by my name, humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." That is humility. Seek his face. Turn to him. Turn from our wicked ways. These are what God looks for. In the gospel reading today, we see Jesus wanting Peter to reaffirm his love for him. And that's why Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And he was saying, yes. But he was, of course, upset the third time Jesus asked him. But Jesus wanted Peter to reaffirm that love for him. Can I have the worship team up? I want to ask this morning, have we lost our first love for God? You remember your first love for God? When He first came into your life? I still remember that very well. Have we lost our first love for God? Has our love for God grown cold? We do so many things for God, but do you know that everything that we do has to come out of our love for God? In today's service, right, we all said, right? The first commandment is this: love the Lord. Love, that means we love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God. Has our love for God grown cold? Are we thirsty for more of God than we have been experiencing of late? Do you desire for more of God? I believe that God will light a fire in our hearts when we get on the altar, when we come to Him in repentance, when we humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, we seek His face, then the heart will be rekindled with the fire of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't know when or how or where the Lord will send the revival. I don't know. But we can do this. We can open up our hearts and open a way for God to do this in our hearts. And it is for us to turn back to God. And there's no reason for us to live drifting away from God. If you're feeling you're drifting away, call out to Him and you'll be drifted back to God. With our eyes closed and our hearts opened, shall we search our hearts and say, Lord, revive that love that I once had for You in my life. Lord, I'm sorry that I've turned away from You. I've moved away from You. Even though sometimes I'm serving You, Lord, but I don't have that love anymore. If you're feeling like this, then my friends, I ask that you ask God today, Lord, bring a revival in my life. Thank you, Jesus.
Shall we sing, I Came to the Gathering?
I came to the gathering of the people of the Lord and found my way among them to His throne. And I needed to return unto the altar of my God to renew again my covenant with Him. And there I built an altar to His name. And He realized my life would never be the same. And then the fires of revival came sweeping through my soul. And I touched the holy presence of my
Shall we